Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-seven minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, my man, our poll question is about what you've been posting on today, about that new court design at Moby Arena. Love it, hate it, or meh. Meh is leading right now. Fans are kind of like, yeah, it's cool, it's fine, it's whatever. Where do you come out on that, my man?
I like it. I mean, it's basically just a modernized version of what was it. I am kind of chuckling. I see a number of people, I was expecting some big change. That was never going to happen. I mean, I'm not really sure why. I guess, some of the hype around it, just social chatter, people thought there's going to be some different. It was always going to be some basic. They discussed a few different things, and, most of them are things that, people have kind of mocked up and passed around. But I think it always made sense to go back to the horns, just modernize it a little bit, make it, maybe a little less gaudy. But I like it. I like, it's unique. But this way, it's probably a little less obnoxious than the former version.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know why, but the former version, I always thought, well, the color was interesting because the ram horns are white on the main logo. But the big ones, they always look like a seashell to me, Kevin, like a snail shell or something. The design is still pretty much the same kind of, as far as the shape. But because it's not so in your face, it doesn't look so much like there should be a tiny little slimy snail underneath there.
Yeah, exactly. The last one I say is unique and in some ways cool, but I think the whole court needed to be modernized. It looked very out of touch with kind of every CSU brand. So I'm glad they did it. And obviously, main thing is it doesn't really matter one way or another. But I personally like it. I think it looks nice.
I think that, and I'm with you. But I think that's why I kind of went meh, because it doesn't keep me up at night whether the court designs this or that. So I'm just like, you know what? As long as it's not, we just had a texter chiming in about the Oregon Ducks and their court design, and I was like, as long as it's not that where it looks like somebody just took a pencil and scribbled all over the place, then I'm pretty much okay with it.
Yeah, exactly. I mostly just wanted to have fun with it myself. On Tuesday night, I teased a little bit because I had a, let's just say I have a court source. And so I kind of knew what was coming and just teased it a little bit. And people say, well, hopefully it's nothing crazy like Oregon or Memphis. I said, well, I can promise that. So yeah, it was fun. It's one of those, hey, it's the off season. Have some fun arguing about something that doesn't matter one bit.
Yeah, well, and again, it's, I don't know if you ever played NBA 2K, Kevin, but you can, like, back in the day anyway, 5-6 years ago, you could design your own little courts and stuff, and you could put the most ridiculous things all over there where it didn't even feel like it was a basketball court. That's what the Ducks reminds me of, for sure. So again, I'm just cool with it that we're not going there. Simple design. I think you kind of laid it out perfectly. A simple, clean design. I think for the most part, fans are fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think, some people have said, well, horns are so light, you can't see them. I don't think that's really true. I think it just on some of the videos, it doesn't show up. When you're in the stadium, you'll be able to very clearly see it. So yeah, I think, like I say, it's nice. Some people won't like it, but whatever. You're never going to make everyone happy.
That's very, very true. Kevin, some news has kind of been spilling out, as far as recruits and everything. I want to get into spring football with you. We're about to wrap that up with the spring game coming up on Saturday. But talk to us first. Let's go football here. Or you know what? Let's stay basketball since we're already kind of on the court side of things. A lot of people, you and I talked last week about some Rams fans pressing the panic button, wondering, what's happening with the Rams. They're seeing a lot of guys leaving, not a lot of guys coming in, but they do get an interesting commitment from it looks to be a standout player from Las Vegas.
Tavy Jackson, a guard. His stats are amazing. Almost 25 points a game, 13 rebounds, like 5 assists, 4 steals, something like that. Kind of a late bloomer from what I understand. Also, he was one of those guys. We've discussed the little, Twitter spat about people arguing over offers and stuff. But he's one of these guys that played through high school through the COVID era, which means he didn't get the exposure that a normal high school player would, and he wasn't on the most prominent AAU team or anything like that, but he sure looks like he'll be a solid player. He's kind of small as far as, scrawny type. So he'll probably need to add some muscle for the college game. But on the surface, it looks like a good player and, another one of those that, is maybe kind of a diamond in the rough that this staff is so good at getting. I mean, he's being recruited by some solid schools, but it seems like one of those steals that some people missed on because he did emerge a little bit late. So we'll see. Time will tell. I'll be intrigued to see if he plays more as a shooting guard or more as a point guard. Obviously, that will determine a bit how much he plays this upcoming year. But on paper, it looks like a solid signing.
Yeah, no, it really does. And I asked you this at practice. I'll just ask you again for the listener's sake. What are your thoughts as far as immediate impact? I mean, do you see him as far as, several minutes, kind of like a Chandler Jacobs type situation? Or do you even see him maybe potentially, depending on how things look for the roster, working himself into a starting role?
Yeah, obviously it's a little too soon to say until we see the other, additions that they will have. Let me say this. There's an opening for guard play, so there's a chance to demand minutes. Even if the staff is thinking, well, we'll redshirt him. If you come in and, over the summer, August, September, October, and are really, really good, you're going to get minutes, so you can earn them. So I would say to be determined, but he'll have a chance to earn some time.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to see how that one plays out because you and I were talking about this again. It's like the people that are freaking out about Medved, I get it if this were any other situation. If Medved has, kind of been there 10 years and he's had some great classes, some bad classes, whatever. But so far, Kevin, everything we've seen from Medved has been up, has been positive. Every single year is a little bit better than the year before as far as recruits, as far as transfers, as far as advancing further in your seasons. So it's like, has the guy not earned, and I'm not talking to every fan, but has Nico Medved not earned enough respect for you to kind of sit back and go, all right, you know what? In Nico, we trust here just a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they haven't really missed. And like you say, every year has been better than the previous. So until that starts changing, I'd say don't worry. And like I've said before, I'll keep saying, and some people get it, some won't. They're very meticulous in their recruiting. They want to make sure they're getting guys that not only are good players. It's pretty easy to evaluate good players. I mean, any D1 level college basketball player should be able, or coach should be able to say, well, you're good, you're not good. But figuring out guys that fit the vibe, the culture. That's what they really want to make sure they get. And, I know they've had guys visiting, basically daily. There's someone on a visit. So it's not like they're not working. They just, it's kind of quiet, behind the scenes type work, not stuff that, fans are privy to.
Yeah, I think, already Jay Norvell's staff has got fans preconditioned on Twitter to be looking out for tweets about stuff going on, too, which, we're in that instant world now. We want to have updates fast, fast, fast. And when we see other updates going on, we're wondering what's happening with Colorado State. But you're right. I mean, just be patient. And again, until he proves otherwise, I think you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Rex Haynes has committed to Colorado State. Another tweet you put out the other day, Kevin. 3-star receiver. He had offers from Arizona State, Fresno State, and San Diego State. Another wide receiver. I mean, they're just going to keep going after these guys, and I'm sure that's going to be the norm in the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Rex actually is joining as a walk-on initially. He'll probably pretty quickly end up on scholarship. But yeah, he has some good offers, plucking him right out from the nose of San Diego State. His dad, Mike, is a NFL Hall of Famer as a defensive back, so he has bloodlines there as well. So yeah, it seems like another good one. There are now 5 freshman receivers that will be coming in the fall. So, when we're looking at the spring game Saturday, you'll see a bit of the receiving core, but a chunk of it is still yet to arrive.
All right, talk to us about the spring game, Kevin. I've been able to get out to a few practices there, but of course I know you've been out there every single day. You've been at the scrimmages. We're about to round this thing out, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts leading up to this, you know, and of course what you kind of expect to see on Saturday. For the most part, it's fun. It's great for the fans and everything, but for the coaches and the players, I mean, obviously this is a serious deal.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and yeah, it's your last chance to, you know, make an on-field impression on the staff if you're a player. So yeah, it's important. You know, it's not a be-all, end-all, but, you know, as Daquan Jackson said to us last week, he said, you know, the biggest thing you need to do as a player is make sure the guy who lines up next to you trusts you, and this is the last time you're going to be on the field, you know, be able to make plays and able to make that guy next to you trust you, which I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be fun. You know, this is the first real spring game since 2017. You know, the last 2 years, COVID kind of messed things up. 2018, they kind of had a spring game, but it was more a practice. 2019, I think it was moved indoors because of snow. So, you know, Daquan Jackson's entering his fifth year, and he says, I've never played a real spring game. The players are really excited. It's going to be a cool format. It's ones versus the world is what Jay Norvell calls it. So basically one team, I think the green team will be, you know, the starting units of offense and defense, and then the other team will be everyone else. And they game it. So the second unit will start with, I believe, a 21-0 lead. And the game is basically, can the ones come back and beat them? So it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's I've never really heard of that style, but I guess Jay Norvell picked it up from another coach he worked with, and it sounds pretty fun to me. I think it should be pretty entertaining. So I'm pretty excited to see how it goes. I think, you know, fans are excited because, like I say, it's the first time in a long time they've had a real spring game to go watch. So really should be a pretty fun day. And, you know, there are a lot of other activities, like Grit Run, led by Kim Norvell, to fundraise for cystic fibrosis research. So it should be a really fun Saturday and kind of a celebration and look ahead in the fall.
Yeah, and I know, obviously, on the Kim Norvell side of things, what an outstanding story there. I know folks have really, really taken hold of Kim and her and Coach Norvell's relationship, too, as far as everything that they've been through over the years. So this is a new, important, yet fun tradition, and I'm excited for that each and every week. But I do, on the football side, Kevin, or each and every year, I should say, on the football side, Kevin, I do love that. I think you add a little more oomph to the spring game, and you add a little more, I don't know, urgency to the to the ones, as far as, all right, we got to, hey, we're down 21 already today, this Thursday, we got to come back from that. And then if your guy's trying to earn more reps and spots on the team, you got to hang on to it. So I'm with you, man. I think that's a really out of the box thing that gets everybody excited.
Yeah, I think it's really fun. A lot of spring games tend to just have weird scoring systems. You know, the defense gets 2 points for a sack and things like that, and, you know, I get why they do that, but it makes it really hard for fans to follow, whereas this, I think, obviously, it's very clear, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I was talking to one of the starters today, and he said, man, you think we can come back? You know, that's a pretty big deficit. He goes, I think we can, but that's going to be tough. So they're already, you know, kind of jawing back and forth. I think it's going to be I really do like the idea. I think it's a pretty cool one. So I think fans will enjoy it.
Well, the question I have is, well, you know, the ones will be airing it out. They're down 21. Plus, it's all they do is throw the ball. What are the twos going to be doing? Are we going to see more of a run game and try to slow this thing down, grind out the clock? That'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued to see how much, you know, how much strategy do you use to try and actually win, and how much do you kind of just run your stuff, because obviously it is, you know, they are still just trying to develop. So many wrinkles to it. Like I said, I think it makes it a pretty fun event the way they're doing it.
Kevin, appreciate you, man. Are you okay? Spring ball's about done. Are you going to take a vacation? What do you do with your life right after spring football, man?
Yeah, not going to lie, I'm pretty burnt out. It's been straight through from August. It's been an interesting, I guess, school year of different seasons. So, yeah, I'll get through spring ball. We'll have high school playoffs come up. So certainly I'll be chipping in there. And then, into May, it's time to go hibernate for a minute.
Yeah, well, you deserve it, my man. Appreciate talking to you about all things Rams football and basketball season long. And, you know, go take some time off after this one. Should be fun on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Brady. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. 12:52 the time. Short break coming up. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Does Joker have something to prove? I know he's the MVP. He's likely the two-time MVP. But is there a lot to prove for the remainder of this series for however long that might be? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.